Today's episode of How Did I Get Here is brought to you by the 7th Annual Marijuana Law for Musicians, a free, hour-long humorous presentation about the nuances of marijuana defense. It'll be held at the Mohawk in Austin, Texas, Monday, April 16th at 8 p.m., and it's free admission. So go ahead and put down that bong and go listen to my friend Charlie Rodman, who's an Austin-based criminal defense attorney who's handled hundreds of misdemeanor and felony marijuana cases in Travis, Hayes, and Williamson counties. So what is marijuana law for musicians? It's a free multimedia presentation that Charlie puts on, and it describes the nuances of marijuana arrests and prosecutions in Travis County. Maybe you're not interested in marijuana, and you're wondering if it'll still be interesting to you if you have sort of an ambivalence towards marijuana. Well, the answer is yes. All you need is a sense of humor or an appreciation of irony. Additionally, the relatively mild treatment of marijuana prosecution provides a strong contrast and therefore a greater understanding of the prosecution of more serious cases. Now, Charlie came by yesterday. I got to go through the presentation with him, and I was captivated, and he was right. It's like a fly-on-the-wall perspective of how marijuana prosecutions are handled by Travis County, which is a liberal oasis in a reactionary state. He's very funny. In fact, sometimes he was showing me some stuff, and he would try and skim through it, you know, just for time's sake, because he was just showing me what the presentation was basically like, and I would ask him to stop so I could watch, you know, or see the whole thing. So, anyway, make sure you go to the 7th Annual Marijuana Law for Musicians. It's Monday, April 16th at 8 p.m. at the Mohawk in Austin, Texas. And remember, admission is free. Also, you know, you never know. Might help you out. you might inform you on some stuff. Maybe you're going through some legal problems. Maybe you don't know, but you might sometime. And Charlie's humorous presentation, entertaining presentation, and extremely informative presentation just might help you. Now back to the show.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Well, hello there. I hope you all are doing well today. It's a nice day here today in Austin, which is where I live. If you're listening to, in another place, I hope that place is having a nice day too. I don't even know what that means. So I'd like to get into the business today, into the business of this podcast, which is a different kind of musician I have on today. So what I'd like you to think about, if you're like a stringent rock and country person, and you find electronica music or electronic music or house music, or guys that are DJs or guys that are producers or these kind of guys, count them off as not, you know, being talented. I don't do that. That doesn't make me better than you, because there are people that I find untalented and I say shit about them. Everybody knows how I feel about Lana Del Rey. If you heard this podcast where a guy told me that I was wrong for hating her, because I guess I hated her one day on Twitter and I don't remember. Anyway, we all do these things. We write these styles of music off. Maybe we don't like where music is going. Like, oh, well, you know, I don't really like music going from like Wilco to somebody like Deadmau5. I, you know, this is something that might bother certain people. It does not bother me. And in fact, I've always liked dance music. In the 80s, I liked dance music, and I hung out with one of my best friends at the time, who I started a band with later. He was a drummer. He was a light guy at a disco, and a teen disco place, like in the late 80s. And so I would go there, and I loved the DJ that was spinning. His name was Michael DeGrace. He was fantastic. And sometimes I would get these cassettes of his sets, you know, that he had spun and how he put these songs together. I realized that's not actually writing music or writing lyrics or putting down your you know, whatever happened to you. It's a different mindset. It doesn't make it less creative. So my guest today is Toddy B. He's actually the best DJ in Austin, according to the Austin Chronicle. He's won several awards for that as being the best DJ. And he does some bigger shows around town and opening slots. He's doing a show coming up with Skrillex and on Memorial Day weekend. He's playing the Nocturnal Festival in April. Anyway, Toddy's been around for a long time. He's been spinning for maybe 10 years, and he's been in the public eye a good, you know, 8 or 9 of that, I think. Anyway, he came over, and before we got to do this, he sent me some links to his music, and he actually has a podcast, so I downloaded some podcasts, and I went running, and I listened to one of them one day while I was running, and another one the next day when I was running, and I really got into the music, and I got into what he does, and we talk about it on here, because what I heard was a live set, and I started feeling what he was going for, and I could kind of get into the mindset of being at that club that night, at that moment, in the energy that Toddy B was creating. So I guess without further ado, here's my friend Todd, Toddy B. From a live set of yours, right?
That is.
Yeah. My guest today is Toddy B. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Johnny Gotti.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So so I have a lot of questions. and one of them was, I was playing last night, but I was thinking to myself, I was hoping that you were doing something where I could go so that I could watch you from some angle where I could watch what it is that's going on when you're doing a set. It's going to make me sound so unhip and so old.
That's cool.
But I will say this. I love what you do. And I listened to the set that you did with Jason, where you guys, I guess, were trading off. How does that work?
Many different ways. The way that we did it was it was two CDJs and a mixer. So we just took turns basically playing tracks. He would play a couple, I would play a couple. Or I think on that mix, we actually did 30 minutes. So he did the first half, I did the second half.
Okay. I didn't know if you were trading off in the,
right,
you know,
right. When you do a tag team set, typically, depending on how you work it out, you can do one track, two tracks, three tracks, 30 minutes, hour sets, and then trade.
Right.
When we do that, typically, it's 30 minutes.
Okay.
You know, so you get comfortable, play a couple tracks, and then let the other person kind of mix it up a little bit in case people aren't feeling it, and you can change it up a little bit.
Right. So yeah. what's your setup when you do a show? Like what are you going from?
Well, I'm going from two CDJ 2000s, which are the new Pioneer, the top dogs, pretty much industry standard CDJ CD players. There's, you know, so many different things that DJs are playing on now, with technology booming and crazy. There's just so many programs. And then just a regular Pioneer 800 mixer. And so I'm playing CDs. It's kind of evolved from, you know, vinyl to CDs to now software programs. And I'm not stuck back in the old days, but every DJ is comfortable.
You're somewhere in the middle?
I'm in the
because
middle.
Because you're still using CDs?
I'm in the middle.
So what are you bringing CDs that are bought CDs or pre-made? Are you putting together mixes at home of stuff?
I am going to different sources to get music, download that music, and burn it onto a CD, take it to the club and play it.
Okay.
So it's basically my CD case is also the same thing as a Crater Records.
Okay.
Downloading it all kinds of different sites, getting promos sent to me, collecting music.
Right.
Downloading it, putting it onto iTunes. Has so easy that modern technology, you can print out your set list basically right there.
Right.
And just go back and forth from there.
Okay. All right. And so when you're going back and forth from there, you're mixing songs like on the fly. You're bringing one down. You're bringing one up.
Correct.
And is there a beat sometimes that's common between the two? Because you have to match up the...
Exactly.
The RPMs.
Typically, you beat
the BPMs.
BPMs, yeah. I thought the RPMs. Different sport.
Right.
Bass lines. That's what it's all about. It's matching up the bass lines with the BPMs. Coming in at the right time, coming out at the right time, knowing your music to know when the next bass line kicks in and the last one drops out. That's a big key element in mixing records and beat matching. These days, it's changed a lot because there's wave files and you can see it versus matching it with your ear, which us old schoolers, I'm 34, I consider myself a little bit older school because now that a younger generation are like 18 and they don't know what beat matching is. They get on a computer and hit sync and it does it for them. And that's a whole nother conversation, which we can get into later.
You know, what's so funny is that there's people that did it on records that are saying this about you doing it on CDs, which you are saying about people doing it with newer technology. Like, well, of course, they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Which is like, brings me to this thing is that in rock, there's, I mean, when I had this conversation with some guys in my band this weekend, and I played them some stuff. I didn't play them your stuff, but I've been like, hey, check this out. And they're just like, are you retarded? You know what I mean? Like, what is that? That's not even music.
Noise.
Right. But there's an artistry to it. Uh-huh. And it's obviously a valid thing. And what I noticed at least about you is that these are long pieces and they have movements in them. And I noticed that a lot of it, musically, and I noticed this, I listened to you and Jason Jenkins when I was running around the lake, and I listened to that whole show, and you played a live set in there, you guys traded short sets, and what I noticed is that almost everything that happens outside of the beat and the bass line and stuff is ascending. You know what I'm saying? Everything's going up. And there's like just what we just heard, you know? And even being like in the daytime and running, you know, on a trail, you know, trees and a lake next to me, I could still get the vibe of like,
awesome.
You know, these are kind of like releases, you know?
Sure.
Woo! You know,
Like, did it make you run faster?
I think I was running to the beat, and then I had to like slow down and walk some because I'm a little older now.
Gotcha.
But talk to me about that, because what you're creating is a mood and a party, and it really is like that piece that I just played from is actually 1 hour and 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. Is that generally how long your sets are? What do you go all night? You go 2 hours?
I'm usually 2 hours, give or take. There's some shows that are... my nights that are resident DJ nights at the clubs here in Austin have a lot of rotating parties. Those are 10 to 2. Usually I'll socialize for the first hour. I'm there, hang out, have a couple drinks, play. Usually what I'll do is play one of my CDs. And then around 11, as the place is starting to fill up, I'll move into some more chill house music, drinking music, not necessarily peak time, banging in your face, in your ear. People don't want to walk into a club and hear that right off the bat.
Right, because what I was hearing was the last hour.
That was us just killing it, playing hard.
Right.
Dance, people drinking, in the mood, hands in the air, raging fun.
So you have a starting point.
Mm-hmm. And it's...
It's mellow.
It's mellow. It's chill.
And by the end, it's crazy.
It's 2 o'clock. It's hands in the air, dance floor packed, energy through the roof, sweaty bodies. Usually,
that's fucking exciting. I don't understand what's wrong with a lot of these rock guys. Like, wait, that's the same exact thing that we're trying to achieve.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what everyone, any artist wants that. Packed dance floor and hella energy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about the smile or the nod when you connect and you see the smiles on people's faces.
You seem to react to that. Yeah.
Just like you. I mean, when people are getting down on the dance floor, you get down on the guitar.
Yeah,
you know, when I see that to people and make eye contact, it's like chills thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal of it. That's the ultimate goal. You know, there's you know, when you're playing live, is to put on a hell of a show. And that's one thing that I love to do is, like, I'll go out and I'll have drinks with everybody as we're doing it. And, you know, it's a party. We're in a club.
So you leave your station?
Like, what I've does been that known mean? To go out and shake a leg on the dance floor with people. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I, for one, you connect with them. Two, most of the time, 80% of the room is my friends or people. I don't call them fans, but they're friends of mine, you know? Yeah. And I have a lot of them that come out and have been and been very loyal. So therefore, I like to connect with them. And I'm very, very engaging, you know, very approachable on the turntables or on the CDJs. You know, people constantly are coming up to say hi because that's, they're there for the music, but they're also there to say hi to me.
Yeah.
So therefore, I've made myself very approachable.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anyone to always come up and say hi to me. I'm never shy about it, you know. Even if I'm working.
So cool.
I'm still trying to shake hands and continue what I was doing without being rude, you know. And be sure that I say hi to every person that does come and see me because they're coming there to see me, you know.
Right.
Not a lot of people do that. I see the guys that don't do that. And I see how it affects their fan base and their crew. And sometimes they get negative, you know, attention because of it.
Well, your fans have definitely come out in droves and voted for you in the Austin Music Awards. You've won, what, 4 or 5?
Yes.
And you just recently won. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You as well. You have quite
I don't think I won.
Well, I know you have That's quite a list of them.
Like, I don't think I won.
Yeah. Trust me, you would know, Johnny.
I don't know if I won. I don't pay attention to myself.
Anyway. No, you have a long list of awards yourself, so props to that. But
thank you.
Yes, to answer your question. Yeah. I have been very lucky with the Austin music scene. I think 2007, 2008, 2009, I won it. And then in 2010, I got second place behind T-Double.
Uh-huh.
Because this is kind of a weird turn of events, but there was a basically a DJ category.
Okay.
And they were putting the hip hop DJs and the house guys in the same category.
Right.
After T-Double won it as hip hop MC, I went to the Chronicle, Margaret Mosier, and I said, "Hey, I love you, but let's divide this category. Let's make it dance music and club music, or dance and club music, and then a hip hop category."
Do you feel? I mean, that's pretty fucking cool because
she did it and I won it again this year. So that was like mission accomplished.
And how many years ago was that? You said 2009?
That was 2010, I think he won it.
Okay. So 2 years later, you actually made a difference for the
it was last year that T-Double won.
Okay.
And so this year, 2011, I guess, but now it's 2012. Right. But, well, shit. I guess it would be considered 2012. At any rate.
Whatever. Yeah. You've changed something historically, at least in this town.
I hope they keep it that way. Not just for me.
I don't think they would have a choice because they're definitely their own forms of music. Mm-hmm. And this town, I know I talked about this with T-Double, is that in this town, it's hard to say this without being insulting, especially to my own people, but if you don't have a guitar, then you're not really...
Yeah.
You know, like if you sound like New Order even here... Yep. They're going to like, oh, I don't know about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird because the landscape outside of Austin is all hip hop and electronica.
Craziness.
And find, you know, a new rock band that broke that you know, really, they're just very few as opposed to the amount of electronica guys.
They're popping out like crazy. I mean, I don't follow the rock scene as much or see where they come from. But as far as the electronic music guys...
I mean, it's really going
on. It's popping. And they're coming out of there. There's a guy that I played with over South by named Maddian, who is 17 years old. He's supposed to be in high school right now, and he's touring the world making stupid money. And he's 17, and he's killing it. And he made one track, sent it off to Deadmau5, did a remix for Deadmau5, who's, you know, top of the game.
Yeah.
And by Deadmau5 taking on that track and signing it, now he's on a whole nother level, life-changing. You know, I mean, it's one track can change your life and put you on the map with these big guys.
Yeah.
Skrillex, like you mentioned his name earlier, same thing. Deadmau5 actually found him too. Now he is almost bigger than Deadmau5. It's just crazy. They're coming out younger, stronger. The technology is, you know, back when... We were on drum machines and stuff, you know, those kids don't even know what that means. They don't even know anything.
Let's pause then right here and let's go back. How did you get into this?
Okay. I could go back pretty far, Johnny, because I've been watching you and, you know, I grew up in Round Rock. I went to school at McNeil High School, class of 96. I went to Concordia. So when I was in high school, the only thing we had to do was go down to the Black Cat Lounge.
Right.
So I was a rocker in high school. I was in a band. I was in actually a Sunflower cover band. You remember Sunflower guys?
Yeah, you were in a Sunflower cover.
Dude.
That is awesome.
I know.
They had a cover band?
No, it was
a tribute band.
It was a tribute band. Yeah.
That is awesome.
So I grew up listening to Joe Rockhead, Ugly Americans, at the Black Cat with Martian. You know, his sister, Kara, was dating a guy that was my age. Is her younger brother.
Right.
So we were like 15, 16, going to the Black Cat, running it, loving it. Saw you there all the time. We didn't know each other, obviously, at that time. I was a youngster. So I was full on into the rock and roll scene till I went to college at Concordia.
Okay.
And then I went to my first dance club, which was called Proteus.
Now, what was the dance culture at that time? Those were raves?
Yeah, there were raves, but
I sound like such a fucking square. So at that time, these were the raves, and the kids were on the ecstasy with the things in the mouth and the pacifiers. I love that. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. That's what it was. There was I went to one rave in high school, and I just didn't get it. I wasn't really that blown away by it. It was more about just going with friends that were into it, and I think they were on E, and I probably was too at the time because that's what we did in high school. But then I went to this dance club with my best friend Ryan Shar, and I walked in and I heard the and the people and dancing and just the gays, the straights, the transvestites, and I was like, "Where's this music coming from? What is this?" You know, I was a singer in the band, so I wasn't really hip to playing the instruments, but I was obviously a huge fan of music.
Right.
Saw the DJ booth, and it was DJ Sliver, who still is around in Austin. I'm very great friends with him. And that changed my life. I was like, that's it. That's awesome. I became a fan instantly of the dance music. Then as I was in Concordia, I met more people in that scene and eventually found Lance Cashin, who owned a record label / production company called Slow Motion Music. Uh-huh. And that's where I got my official job within the EDM community, which was he was doing parties.
The EDM.
Electronic dance music.
Okay, excellent.
Common terminology, I guess. Not slang, I guess. He was doing shows. I wanted to help him in any way, shape, or form. He said, pass out flyers, put them on cars. This is now 98.
Okay.
So I had met him. We had started that relationship. He did his, well, no, I'm sorry. I'm a little ahead of my behind. That was 2000.
Okay.
Because his first party that I did with him was New Year's Millennium 2000 at Saba.
Okay.
And by that point, I was full-blown fan. I started working with Lance under Slow Motion Music till about 2001 or two. It took me about a year or two to finally, where I was doing nights, promoting the nights, having my DJ buddies come in and DJ. All my friends would come as well, but I was like the promoter for the night. The guys just weren't playing what I was really wanting to hear. I was already hanging out at the record store promoting my events to all the DJs that were coming in to buy records.
Right. And you were on records then?
Yes.
So when you... Real quickly, when you decided to get into it, that must have been, I mean, my God, you must have had to, you had to catch up. I mean, you can't just start that thing with 15 records.
Oh, yeah. And records were $8 to $12 a pop. So
they were cheap. Buying new records, and do you go and get like old, I mean, did you at any point throw in any like... what do you throw in, like
jazz?
No. Like maybe more like something that would work better with like a four on the floor, a disco record or something.
Sure. No, and the only reason was because I was just so into this certain style of house music at that time.
Okay, so there's definitely like a style of music that you've been into.
Yeah, there's I've switched around a couple genres, but I've pretty much stayed the same. You know, I started DJing finally in 2001.
Okay.
I started DJing. I was already doing the nights. My friends were already coming. So it was just like, hey, I'm going to start doing this. And it kind of snowballed and just took over and blew up into what it is now. But, you know, within house music, you can consider it, I guess, subgenres. There's the deeper house, which is the loungier stuff. There's the more electro, which is the more pumping, energetic stuff. There's the tribal stuff, which is the drums and the more, you know, that style. And I kind of fit in between all that. I loved all that. So the deeper stuff I could play early and work into the building the night up. And to by 2 o'clock, you're playing the heavy stuff, which, you know, by midnight, people are buzzing. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
You got to pick it up. So that style kind of fit me. And I went from the playing on vinyl to watching all my friends go to digital to CDJs. And I was still stuck back in the vinyl world. I'm going to stay here. That's foreign to me. Because I was a late bloomer behind all these guys anyway. By probably 5 to 10 years on some of them.
Right.
And then I saw them walk into their gigs with their CD books and their headphones. And I'm lugging records and crates of records. I don't know if you ever picked up a crate of records.
I have.
They're not light. So needless to say, I made that transition pretty quick.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah. And I'm still on there. Like I was saying earlier, with modern technology, there's so many different platforms now for DJs. And it's really about what you're comfortable playing on. I'm still comfortable playing on CDs and CDJs and taking the CD out and actually mixing the record and using the pitch control to slow it down and speed it up.
There's something about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just the touch of it. There's now CDJs that have a platter that's pretty much the feel. It's not obviously exactly like a record,
but it has that feel.
You can speed it up, slow it down, almost pretty much scratch with it. I'm not big into scratching. I just let it play. But you know, within the mix or two, you have all the effects, tweaking the noises and making build-ups slow down and then pick them up when they're higher and, you know, harmonies, melodies, everything's, you can just manipulate it to whatever you want it to do these days pretty much. And that's where I'm stuck now, though. But I see the guys that are on the laptops and I find them and I watch them when I go to see them, and a lot of them are just so sucked into it. They're totally checked out about the crowd. And they're in their
laptop, yeah.
And they're looking for what's next, and they're tweaking something, and they're just disconnected. And then once they get into there, you see their head go from bobbing, and they look at their computer, and they're down here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I find that boring.
That's a huge difference.
It is. There's basically your stage presence, you just lost it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And your connection, you just lost it. And a lot of the big guys do that, but when you're playing a room of 2,000 people, you could play Yankee Doodle, and it's... people will dance because it's you know, but with the local level, you got to keep people entertained.
Yeah, you got to work for it.
Absolutely, man. It's work. It's a job out there.
I mean,
it really is on a local level. And you play one wrong track and people go to the bar and your dance floor is cleared. That's like nightmare, you know. Doesn't happen very often.
No.
But, I mean, I've seen it happen.
Does it still happen?
Been in clubs. I've pretty much learned that.
You've done it for a while, yeah.
I've passed that, but I'll be in.
Well, the first time it happened, what was that like?
Man.
Were you able to pull out of it and get him back, or did you spiral in this funk of like, I'm terrible. What am I doing? I've ruined your night.
A little of both. I take pride in it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a shot to the ego, and I don't think I have a huge ego. I've been told that I don't, but. It's a shot to the ego, though, regardless. And I don't remember exactly what I did at that moment, but I definitely know that I would have taken it in the gut.
I would think of it less of an ego thing and probably more because of who I've gotten through the last couple of days of listening to your stuff so much, who I've gotten understood you as is it seems like you would be more bummed out that you might have bummed out the people.
Sure.
And you killed the party.
Sure. That's
like,
definitely
I don't want to be the guy that killed the party.
Yeah, yeah, that's never good to be that guy.
No.
Yeah, but that would definitely be one of the feelings, as well as like, oh shit, what do I need to pick up the pieces now? Because that didn't work. And that's part of music, as you know, you have to test things and test music.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't test the way you want it to.
No.
And you either...
We noticed that with Skyrocket in the exact same way.
Got you.
We want to keep that dance floor going and everyone having a good time. And there's times when... you're looking at a set list and somebody goes like, hey, whoa, we can't play, you know, this song here because this is going to everyone's going to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we will try out new songs that like, you know, what it seems like the greatest idea in the world. And it sounds great when we play it and we play it and everyone just
crickets.
goes back to the bar. Yeah. Or nobody claps. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
So yeah. I mean, that's and you feel responsible. You feel
we just
had this conversation the other day as a band. You feel responsible. Like, what am I doing wrong? This is supposed to, you're supposed to be having a great time.
Or why is this so good to me?
Right.
But not to you.
Right.
Yeah. And nowadays it's like, if the song doesn't have a really kick-ass hook or something to really grab people's attention, or just a nasty bass line that just like, whoa, what is that? You know?
Yeah.
You, like I said, you got to keep them on their toes.
Yeah.
Pretty much, because the music has changed. Genres are changing.
Talk to me about that. You were saying that you kind of went through the house thing back when you started DJing, and it worked for you. Is that where you're... I think that's my phone over there. Sorry.
No, that's cool.
Where are you at now? Like, what are you? What would you call the genre that you
sure.
that you do?
Well, it's definitely house music. Okay. Like I said, there's many subgenres of that. I like to start the nights early with a little bit more of the tribal stuff, the right. drums. I'm really a big fan of the, you know, the South American, the bongos and the drums and the cymbals and just that sound. And it's almost like not salsa, but it's that sound. And girls love it. Yeah. If girls love it, you're in.
Yeah.
You know, the girls are on the dance floor first, the guys will follow.
The guys will follow, yeah.
And starting the night, getting people on the dance floor, you have to think about that. You just can't go for the home run, I guess. Right.
Yeah, you can't just come out.
Yeah, just guns blazing, because that'll be like, whoa, freak people out.
When you were saying you'll do sets that are 10 to 2,
mm-hmm.
so you definitely start so off the first like couple that. Of hours.
Well, the first hour. By midnight, I'm picking it up a couple gears. So that's when I get more of into the more... bumping house music, more of the electro stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the more higher energy. It's a new sound that's kind of evolved, and it's kind of like the Deadmau5 sound.
How would you describe it?
It's a lot. It's almost like indie rockish guitars. Right. Just more bang, 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 you know, a lot thrown on top of the four on the floor.
Well, this kind of leads me into this question that I wanted to ask you, because when I listen to your podcast with Jason Jenkins and with Bass Nectar, I sensed like, I don't want to say a chip on their shoulder, but a sense that there was unity with what you guys were doing, and you're surfacing from the underground, kind of like it happened, 12 years ago, like Fatboy Slim and Moby, mm-hmm. like it's coming back up, you know, and at this point, it's eclipsing what's happening in rock music, right? And so, in your crowd of DJs, is there a sense of triumph, or is there? Do you think there'll ever be a chance where they'll coexist and maybe work together in ways to even define a new style of dance music? You know, new genre.
Absolutely. One thing about the dance music scene is that the camaraderie is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you see these A-list guys doing tracks together, putting out big remixes for other guys. The biggest guys in the game are all working together. Like, during South by Southwest, it's become like a little winter music conference is in Miami. That's the big music week in Miami. And every DJ on the planet goes there.
It's a couple
there.
Weeks or a week after South by, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Well, South by is becoming a mini winter music conference, to where now all the guys get together, they all talk shop, they're basically rotating on the turntables, you know, for 8 hours of music, shaking hands, having high fives, having drinks, just partying together. And then like a week later, you'll see those two guys hanging out, and then a week later, they got a track together on Beatport, and it's number one, and it's huge. And so Tiesto and A-Track, or Tiesto and Steve Aoki, or Deadmau5 and, you know, Calvin Harris. I mean, these huge names are getting together and doing stuff. So the camaraderie is there.
What is Beatport?
Beatport is one of the biggest download sites.
Okay.
That's where a lot
and
of
they're
the DJs
free downloads
go to get.
Or do you
No,
pay,
these are paid
pay.
Sites.
Okay.
Yeah. Beatport's Beatport.com. Most 90% of the A-list guys put their stuff out on Beatport.
Okay.
They make money through Beatport. Obviously, their big money's their gigs.
Right.
But, you know,
do you have stuff on Beatport?
I don't yet. Okay. That's in the pipeline. I'm kind of a bedroom producer.
Okay.
As we speak. That's next in the cards.
I'm a bedroom producer too.
I definitely produce in the bedroom.
That's why it's so damn popular.
Yeah, right, right.
So,
but to answer your question, though, about creating a genre,
yeah.
They have created a genre.
So there's like a rock electronica
where
guys get together.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And, you know, for me being able to sit there on stage with it and watch these guys who are like somewhat my idols, you know, those are the guys that we all want to be. And they're doing it, and they're right there with us, and they're cool with the promoters just as they are cool with their own people. And so if we're part of that team, if you will, of being part of the promotional power of the team, and they take us in, it's, you know, it's a big family for sure.
Yeah.
And then within the genres, that like there's a dubstep is a new genre, and now there's and forms of dubstep that are like there is of house music, which are just coming out of nowhere. There's I don't know much about the genres, but there's glitch hop, there's glitch, there's, you know, there's like seven different genres that I wouldn't even know how to classify it. Other friends of mine that are in the scene could, and I might sound a little ignorant of it now, but I'm not into that music. I'm not into that scene, so I don't know much about it. But
how much do you go out and you? I mean, you obviously, you know, you keep up with the local DJ scene.
Sure.
And you host a podcast, which I guess we should start talking about what you do.
Cool.
You host, I'm busy. One thing you do is you host a podcast.
I do. It's called The Toddcast.
Right.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah.
I've started doing it last year. Was shooting to do about once a month. It's turned about every 3 months or so.
Yeah.
I've just been dragging on it. I've had a couple big names on there. Bass Nectar, as you mentioned earlier. Right. A couple local guys. It's more or less a platform for the local guys.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the one with you and Jason, even as someone that's almost an outsider to it, because I got to kind of get a vibe of what you guys are doing and what the whole culture is. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the podcast.
Platform for local guys. There's so many DJs now here that I've grown up with in the scene here. And to get a lot of those guys on there that have already kind of established or still playing, that's cool. But my thing is finding the new talent and the younger guys.
And you have a segment like that on a show that's on a Hypersonic Radio on 101X every Saturday.
Right.
From 10 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Yes,
maybe.
Sir.
Those are the magic.
5 years strong, man. We've been doing Hypersonic Radio on 101X for 5 years, a little over 5 years now. So Lawless went to Jason, who Jason used to work for Kanak back in the day. Uh-huh. That's where their relationship
started. That's where
started.
I know him.
Yeah, okay. He's old school, man.
Right.
He's the grandfather, if you
will.
Yeah. So we've been watching him play for years. But Lawless and him hooked up, and they had a 10 to 12 spot open. He said he wanted to do dance music. Jason said, oh, that's awesome. And he called me, and I started my bit, which is called The Word on the Street, which is basically like what Johnny Walker did on KLBJ for years.
Right.
Which was what DJs are playing in what clubs in around Austin, what shows are coming up,
right.
Who's doing what, just kind of a 5-minute spiel on what's going on in the scene. And then a couple years later, we hired another person, Jackie O, to do kind of a femme fatale side of the scene.
Uh-huh.
More like fashion shows, art shows, what's going on in that
That's
scene.
That's cool, yeah.
Then we hired a guy, Chris Allen, who also does the celebrity gossip, if you will, within the music community.
That's kind
of caters to the gay scene a little bit.
Right.
So that's very interesting all the time. He's hilarious. And then we have one other guy that does it's called Technotic, and it is the technology side. He does a real quick spiel on what the new technology is. And that's all my bits, like the first 10 minutes of the show, they're all kind of spaced in between the music. So it doesn't just all at one time. But within the 2 hours, that's Hypersonic Radio. Jason hosts it. He's DJing the whole time. It's grown. We have a guest mix every week. Every week we have a guest come in and do the last 30 minutes of the show. They do like a 25-minute mix. It promotes. Usually we use that to promote them with whatever they have coming
right,
up.
Some show
All
they
local
have
guys,
up.
Yeah. We've been pretty lucky to get some of the A-list guys that have come through to get some big interviews through the 5 years. But it's going strong. We're not slowing down. We're full force ahead. The radio station's happy. You know, 10 to 12 is a pretty good spot because the people that do listen to the radio typically are going to the club about that time.
Yeah.
So the energy in the car is probably
pretty.
Yeah. I mean, at 10:15 every Saturday, my phone blows up. Hey, we just heard you on the radio. You know, so that's always cool. And that's still happening.
Yeah.
So I know that I can gauge that people
are still listening.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, the podcast, we're streaming live. Not only do we have the show on 101X, now we're online and we're streaming 24/7. So anytime you go to hypersonicradio.com, we have a show running, and you can find that
from
list
from the last 5 years or something.
Well,
or
no, we have we have different sets from different artists.
Awesome!
Like my podcast is funneled through the show,
right?
Through hypersonicradio.com,
right?
And there's I think we have about 20 shows right now that are certain times they're running, and then on those off times, Jason has tracks playing. So you can constantly hear dance music 24/7 on hypersonicradio.com. Check it out.
That is awesome.
Yeah, man. It's been the website. It's been our big focus. We've been pushing really hard on that.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, you know, selling ads comes from that, banners and all that
stuff.
So first couple of years, we were so focused on the radio show.
Right.
We weren't paying attention to the website as much.
Well, it's got to hold up. You know, the radio show, if it didn't sell ads, you wouldn't be able to keep
it.
So,
yeah. And that's one thing that's
smart.
Know, yeah. Yep, Lawless is, you know, he's been in the game for a while, so I'm very grateful to have the show. He's awesome for letting us do it, too. So
So you also have monthly residencies, which means you play these places once a month. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You play at Geisha Room.
Yep.
Rick's Cabaret.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yellow Rose.
That's fun. Let me tell you about that.
Tell me about that, tell please, because I want to go dance there.
Yes, you do, my friend. The titty bar gigs.
Are you? No, don't tell me you're like, that's Bambi on the main stage.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not bummer. At all. That's I have a great titty bar guy voice, titty bar DJ voice, but I'm not even going to go there. The residencies over the 10 years have come and gone. They, you know how that goes. Yeah. They get worn out. Some last longer than others. The ones that I have right now, Rick's Cabaret, well, let me back up. Yellow Rose, it's a party when we go to the Yellow Rose and we DJ there. It's the one night, it's usually an off night. They have younger guys running this place now. Jonathan Joseph, David Frank. And so they're bringing in back in the young clientele and throwing a party more there. So when we go there, I mean, it's a full-on DJ booth setup. Yeah, there's girls dancing, but it's a party in there, and it's just mad. It's just like a club.
But can the people dance? Like, can I get up and dance if
not,
I wanted to?
Not on the stage?
No. I don't mean on the stage. I mean, like, at my table.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a dance party.
And is that
party.
Going on? Like, there's guys and girls there? A lot of girls come in that night with the guys?
Mm-hmm.
As customers, patrons? That sounds cool as shit.
Oh, man, it's an awesome night. I love doing it. It sucks, though, because it's... A lot of times we do it on Tuesdays.
That's fine. It's perfect for me. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like one night I'm not working.
Yeah, right on. Well, then I'll let you know when we do the next one for
Please
sure.
Please do.
Absolutely.
It'll be
rocking.
Fun.
It's rocking. Yeah. So I think what happened was Rick's Cabaret caught on to me doing the Yellow Rose thing.
Okay.
And they asked me to do their New Year's party this past New Year's. And I threw out a number. They took it. I went and I told them, like, I can't do this and just have people sitting down like a typical strip club would be. Like, we need to make it a club. I'm a club DJ. I'm not going to DJ for people sitting in a room. So they cleared the whole place out, turned it into a dance club, brought in extra sound, brought in extra lights, and made it a club. And it's rocking.
Wow.
And so I do every third Saturday of the month I do at Rick's. And okay. I just signed on to do another 6 months, so...
Wow. And do they do that for all the Saturdays that you do?
No. Oh, yes.
They clear the place out and it becomes a dance
floor. They don't clear it out. They just kind of push it forward.
Push it back, yeah.
Yeah, and forward, just create a dance floor and a party atmosphere. And it's one of the more fun gigs I have. I mean, it's just different.
Yeah.
I know. You can't really beat it.
You can't really beat it.
Hey!
Yeah, because you're working, you know?
I know. I mean, can I get a towel or something?
Okay, the other place is Haven.
So Haven is, it's been renamed Haven. It was Phoenix. Before that, it was Pangea.
Okay, yeah. No,
there you go. Yeah. And the Pangea guys came from out of state, opened it up. Whatever happened, they moved on.
Right.
Now it's owned by another gentleman. And they remodeled it recently, and I'm ready to get back in there. I start that one June 1st. This one is kind of filling the gap for Royale. A lot of people are very familiar with what's going on with that situation. That's kind of another topic. Maybe we can get to that one in a minute.
Sure.
But other than Haven, the Geisha Room, 5th and Congress, I've been doing that for over a year now. And that has become like my little playground. My friends know to come in there. Smaller place, so it's only a couple hundred people. But when it's there, it's all my friends. My friends own the bar. It's a party. It's great. And that's kind of randomly every second or third Friday.
Okay.
But if you go to the Facebook page, Toddy B., Facebook.com/ToddyB1. That's probably the best way to find all the info.
And you can, if you Google Toddy B,
that's pretty easy to find too.
It'll pop up.
Twitter, Facebook. I don't really mess with the MySpace stuff anymore.
Nobody does, except for there's still ads on there all the time.
Is there really?
People sending you ads.
I haven't even looked at it.
I don't know what it is.
Do people even use it for music anymore? Because I know that's
a lot of people. Some people do. I mean, I get that, but I think since Reverb Nation's tied itself into Facebook, it's a lot easier.
True.
You can sync them up, and so a lot more people are doing that.
That looks really cool too.
Yeah, you also have some different shows coming up. You want to hit the Yassine?
Sure.
Okay, let's talk about this. These guys.
This is a big deal.
If you're from Austin,
yeah.
These guys have been in the news lately because of. Go ahead. Shady business practices.
Yeah, and you know, this is a fine line I walk, Johnny, because these guys are friends of mine.
Sure.
They're club owners. They are 100% awesome human beings to me. They've always been amazing to me.
Right.
I've never seen anything shady out of their businesses. You know, these guys are Lebanese and they roll with an entourage, and I'm sure they've, I mean, clearly they've pissed off some people in this town. I'm not going to talk bad about them ever. I would never will.
No.
However, to get down to the dirty, nobody knows what really happened yet because they're still in court.
Right.
What they're being charged with is drugs, transferring right. drugs in right. and out of their club, using the drug money as laundering money through right. their clubs from the drugs.
Right.
I think there was some weapons in there. And then the tax evasion stuff, which is going on, which is right. that one's about to hit next, which is they were not paying their employees the $213 an hour, but claiming them. And I don't know the tax rules exactly, right. but that's something pretty right. much what happened. And so they got nailed for that. And
so how did that, how's that affected?
It affects us because they own 8 venues in the town.
Shit.
Yeah.
And those venues are closed.
They're closed down. The IRS has closed them down while all this court stuff's going on, which sucks for the landlords, but...
Sucks for the landlords, and it ends up sucking for the employees.
There's like 300
patrons. Yeah, sucks for you guys yeah. that make up. You mm-hmm. know,
I mean,
that.
You're they. I'm very close with the staff there because I work with them. I have for 10 years, DJing in their clubs. So there's 300 people out of work: barbacks, DJs, bartenders, door staff. You know, towel runners, everything. So
yeah.
that basically leaves a huge hole in the Austin nightlife scene, and nobody really knows what's going to happen. From what I heard from the attorneys, that those buildings will sit empty for about 10 to 12 months till everything's getting straightened out. IRS comes in, sells off what they can,
sure.
and then who's next in line for the places? But to answer your question, it's affected many people personally, the nightlife scene personally, effectively, there's 8 less venues to go to now, half of them on 6th Street, half of them in the Warehouse District, all of them very diverse places. Two of them were gay bars, Kiss and Fly and Hyde over in the Warehouse District. Royale was the new big patio club, holds 1,000 people. That's where I was DJing
outside on the patio,
and it's amazing. It'll come back. It'll be open again. I don't know if they'll keep Royale as the name, but new owners obviously. And when it does, it's gonna pick up right where I left off, because you know this town is suckers for patios. People love to be on the roof.
They love them,
and because they can smoke. It's the nightlife. It's
beautiful.
City. It's
you
amazing.
Can overlook this downtown. Yeah, just, downtown looks real cool
it's
now.
It's amazing, and I love DJing on the roof because the vibes up there are so great. You know. So it's going to be missed. So, you know, one residency ends, another one picks up. So
that's right.
Why
that's true.
Yeah. I was debating on going over to Haven for a long time. It was just I was too busy.
Right.
And I wasn't a free Saturday to squeeze in there. So with this happening, kind of opened up a night for me to move over there. So I'm happy. I'm friends with the owners over there, and they always take good care of me.
And at the level of your popularity, you can pick up. I mean,
I'm lucky. I mean, I can
people
go...
seek you out. Right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
For sure.
And do you book yourself?
I do. I've never had a manager. I've never had a PR person. I've never had an agent.
So you also are a businessman as well.
I have to be, man.
And you got to...
I am 100%. Figured it out myself. Promoted myself. Started these relationships with all these club owners and GMs and promoters that started booking me. So I've been hit up for management opportunities all the time, but...
It's just someone that wants a little bit of your money.
Yeah, and if I told one of these club owners to go talk to my manager, they would laugh at me.
I know exactly what you mean.
And so yeah. I've built these relationships.
When you live in a place for a long time and you're
I've been here 26 years, bro. I mean, and so I have those relationships. And at some points, I would love that. Because when you get to that level where you're taking it to that next level, you need that. You need right. management. I'm on Austin, Texas, locally, Toddy B., give me X amount of dollars for a gig, and I'll rock your club for X amount of time. And I'm friends with them all, usually, too,
right.
so I don't need that person.
So do you get called to go elsewhere to DJ for parties or
yeah.
for nights or anything
I
like
do.
That?
I do. A lot of stuff, Texas. I go Dallas, Houston often. I got a partnership with these guys in Houston that do a party called Prior Urbana. It's a day party. It's amazing. So we do a kind of a switcheroo. I'll get one of their guys to have him play with me. They'll
okay, so
me
it's
down.
Same way we do
Absolutely.
It in rock. It's same
Absolutely.
Like, hey,
DJ
you know,
swap. Yeah.
have us come up and open for
yeah.
us, you in Dallas, yeah. and come down and open for us.
Yeah, I do a lot of that. And that's how I get a lot of gigs. It's like, I'll go up there and play, you know, you know how it is. You play one time and then they want you back.
Right.
So then.
No, I don't know. No, I'm joking.
But you start out as the opening guy and then the next thing you know, you're the headliner. So that has happened a lot and I'm pretty lucky for that. So my thing was like, I started this music as a fan, in this business as a fan. I got into DJing late. I got into DJing because I wanted, when my friends weren't playing what I wanted to hear and making everybody dance. I never tried to take it to the next level because I was happy here in Austin. No traveling.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to fly to like Ibiza.
I don't need to do that. Don't get me wrong. I would do that in a heartbeat.
All right.
Do I want to make that my career as far as traveling and being home on Monday and Tuesday nights? I don't think I want to do that, you know? So I've always stayed humble here in Austin, and it's been great to me. And it's a producer's world now. Like I was, you were asking about producing music.
Yeah.
Being a DJ and getting booked internationally, those days are gone. Now it's like you need to make music. You need to be producing. You need to
What do you mean those days are gone?
Well, you just don't get noticed for being a DJ on that level anymore.
Okay.
It used to be that way. There's still DJs that are A-list DJs because in the 90s, they were just DJing.
Well, there are guys that say like they're the top guy, like the U in Chicago, and they fly him there to like a party in Vegas or something, right?
All
Does
over.
That happen?
Oh, yeah. All over. They're busy. But these days, it's a producer's world. You know, those Beatport, the website Beatport that I was saying about earlier, if you have multiple tracks in the top 10 on Beatport, people are buying your music. People know you. Promoters book you because they're coming to the show. That's how a lot of the people are getting to know the music now, is seeing the producers, who's making the tracks. And so now they're getting booked more. And I'm still a little bit slow on that side of the game.
You said you were a closet producer.
Yeah, and it's just because it takes a lot of time to learn the new gear. There's constantly new stuff coming out. And not just learning it, but then putting it all together. And so to speak, putting it on paper, so to speak, you know, putting it down and seeing if you do have the talent. I have the talent. It's just the time thing, Johnny, to be honest with you, man. It's a full-time job to do that. And right now, I just haven't been in that place to make that commitment to be a full-time job. I've always had a day job. You know, music has been...
What do you do?
I do property management during the day. I've had odds and ends jobs throughout the 10-plus years of being in this business.
Is that hard? Is that a day job? Like 9 to...
9 to 6. Nine I got to off six, at 6 and came straight here.
So...
Which, you know, because...
You didn't DJ last night, though, did you?
No. I've been pretty lucky to where now I can pick and choose, like we were saying earlier, to what I want to do and what nights I want to do. And if I'm getting too busy, I can slow it down. You know, when I first was trying to do this, it just wasn't enough money to survive nickel and diamond DJ gigs. So I had to get a job.
Yeah.
I was at a school. Parents wasn't an option, you know, so I had to start working.
Parents wasn't an option. Guys, I want to spin records, man. Will you guys support me?
Yeah, I wish. Love you, mom and dad. And they do great, but that just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah,
as many people. But there's people that it parents. Is.
Yeah.
There's
occasional guys.
Yeah, every now and then. But... You know, so I was accustomed to working 40 hours a week and then playing music on the weekend. And that's kind of where I've been. And I'm cool with that.
It's a very humble stance.
It's,
and a very honest stance.
Yeah, it's
you're
honest.
Not, you're not coming in here trying to jive me that there's some secret thing going on that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. Absolutely. That's what I like about this.
Right on. Well, it's the truth, man.
It's the only way it works, like therapy.
Yeah, I agree. But there's times when I kick myself in the ass for not starting... 10 years ago producing.
Sure.
Because if I started that then, now I would be in a whole other place.
Now when you're saying producer, are you
making the music.
You're making the music
making
yourself.
The beats. Uh-huh. And playing your own original music. Right now I'm playing other people's music.
Right.
So I'm going on Beatport and I'm buying other people's tracks.
Right.
And I'm playing
And you're mixing
tracks.
Them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're putting together I understand all of that. So as far as like making the music, like you would play the keyboards, or would you still take elements from other
songs,
pieces, mm-hmm. and put them together? There's
all
still
the
that
above.
Going everything
oh, yeah.
all
oh,
across.
Yeah. They're and, sampling stuff. I mean,
right.
you still like the Etta James track, got a feeling, the big track that's all over the radio.
Yeah,
so many people are remixing it. It's like a common household track now, but it brought her back. Who recently passed away.
Oh, and everyone's doing their own thing
yeah,
of that
there's
song.
10 remixes
so cool
of that
as
song.
Shit.
Yeah, but and so there's one guy that did it first and he got the credit and now he's
Yeah.
It's huge. Avicii's his name. He's a Dutch guy.
Yeah.
So
Well, so then when you
or Swedish,
when you do Swedish, this Dutch, stuff, like, thing. How do you get these gigs that you're doing, like Memorial Day weekend with Rusko and Skrillex? Where is that going to be here?
The Memorial Day weekend, that's going to be a huge one. So Rusko is a big UK dubstep guy.
Okay.
He'll sell out the music hall. That's at the music hall.
Wow.
3,600 people, I think, that holds now the new music hall. So he wanted an electro DJ to open. So the promoters know that I play electro. They know also that I promote. That's half the reason people book me, too, is because they know that I'll promote. They know that I'll bring people.
A lot of times when people get somebody to open, it's because they need an extra.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, sure.
It's an opportunity to play in front of 3,600 people on a huge sound system. So, and I love playing the music hall because it's... That's the big gig for Toddy B in Austin, Texas. You know, I couldn't
It's a big gig for Johnny Gowdy here in Austin, Texas. You know what I mean?
I couldn't get 3,600 people to sell at the music hall for me. But stack the bill and let me be the opening guy. And to see all my friends in the crowd, it's like they're with me, you know. And that's like the live set that you saw was – or that you heard, sorry, was probably on the top five sets of my gigs in 10 years of DJing, because that was a night – that we had Paul Oakenfold, who's 30-year veteran DJ in the scene.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah. And it was during ACL. And I got like 500 comp tickets given to me. And I gave them to all my friends and blasted on Facebook, said, I got free tickets. Come by my house. And I just left them under my doormat. And they were all gone in like 3 days.
That's awesome.
So when it was time for me to play, it was like... They were there for me almost, you know, and it was just hands in the air from the first record to the last, and it was just an amazing. That's why you felt that vibe. And
I did. I mean, I really did.
It was like, imagine me up there just losing it, going crazy with it, with basically the music hall there for me. You know, it was amazing. It was amazing. So
the last thing I was the last thing that I was in was fucking, like, once again, just the out of touch guy. Hi, I have a ukulele.
you really do have a ukulele.
Yeah, I just pointed at it. And a melodica. I don't know what's wrong with me. I went to go see Fatboy Slim with my ex-wife in like 2000 when he came.
Was that the music hall?
It was at the music hall.
Yeah, it was same in the thing. Middle, right?
In the middle,
set up in the middle,
I figured you probably had been there.
Yeah.
This was
I don't think they've ever done that setup before again. Because he was in the middle. And the speakers were around him.
What there's a thing on YouTube I saw of you, and there's a lot of lights going on behind you. Okay. That was at the music hall?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you were opening for someone there as well?
Dead Mouse.
All right, because he's got that light. So he lets you use the light thing.
That's the production company that brings all that in. So, okay,
and they're a dedicated light guy.
Crew.
Now, well, how do you handle that? How do you handle the lights? Like, on not there, like, say,
as
not
far
these
as
shows.
Playing with them around me?
Well, lights have something to do with the music, and they have to kind of go with what you're doing. Do you have a light guy that you work with, or do you have like a...
They typically are fans of the music, so they can tell and anticipate what's about to happen if the music's going to break down, if it's building, and when it's going to break.
So it's a house light guy.
Yeah.
But it is important.
It's a team. Oh, yeah. I mean, lights is energy.
Yeah.
Lights is sound. Well, I mean, I figured
when I saw that video and I saw the lights behind you, I didn't know if that was yours.
Or
it seemed like a pretty big kind of production thing to take.
That
to
was
the
a big
Rose.
Production. Yeah, that was a big production. And you know, modern technology, the shit that they're coming out with is amazing. And LEDs and the walls and the video screens and everything together. And now there's this new stuff called projection mapping, which is a projector. And this is hard to explain. Google projection mapping. At some point, and it'll show you a little bit more, but it's basically, it's a projection. It's a software program that you design the layout of a structure, like your piano right here,
right.
And you design a graphic that moves with it, and it's playing real time, but it's a visual, and you can add stuff. It's just next level shit, and it's not just like an LED wall changing colors. It's, you can manipulate it into anything, but it's shooting on one surface.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Check out Amon Tobin, Amon Tobin. He does a touring show. He's actually coming to the music hall in a couple months, but he's being known for his projection mapping sets, and he like sets up this really intricate stage setup, and then you see him like in a little pod in the middle DJing on his little stand, and around him is just this madness of a light show, and it's just mind-blowing. I mean, the audience is just like, what?
Yeah.
It's sick. It's sick stuff.
Yeah.
No more of the little, you know, track spot on a disco ball, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Those days are kind of gone.
That's good.
I mean, the production, you know, that's, you know, one thing that promoters are doing now in these big festivals, which the scene is growing, like the music festivals in America are becoming the biggest in the world. Electronic music, Electronic Daisy Carnival that Insomniac does, which is a promotion company out of California, they're expecting 300,000 people over 30, I'm sorry, I can't talk. Over 3 days, they're expecting 300,000 people.
Right.
And that's massive. That's huge. That's 100K people a day in the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And they're doing stages that are 100 feet long, wide, with media walls that are 10 stories tall, and just, they're just next level. The artists that are coming up with the stuff they're doing is just, it's crazy. Bigger than some of the rock shows out there.
Yeah. These
music festivals are insane. And they're, now they're branching them out, and they're doing one in Puerto Rico. They're doing one in New York City. They're just growing. The music's growing. It's crazy. There's one coming up, Nocturnal Festival is the one.
Right,
that's
I was
up.
About to ask you in April,
yeah,
right?
That's the same company, Insomniac. Insomniac pretty much
Where's
runs.
Where's the Nocturnal Festival?
That is in Rockdale in Apache Pass. Big old, what in is, the middle of nowhere.
Okay. But where is Rockdale?
Rockdale is, Texas? It is.
Okay.
It's about an hour outside of town, out 79, that direction.
Oh, so it's going to be in like some really cool desert setting.
Yeah, and they go way over the top with the production. I mean, art cars and dancing people on stilts and jumping
what
around and theatrics.
What happens during the day? People just sleep? Like, when does the music start?
They start at 4, they
like
go
that?
To 4.
4 to 4?
Mm-hmm. So typically, there's no camping out there. Typically, they drive out there, party all day and all night. And
then leave at 4?
Drive back, yeah, unfortunately. See, I've been pretty lucky to be able to go on a tour bus. So we have a tour bus that we go on. And our crew. Yeah, we go out there and we drive right through the park and we park it. We party all day and all night, and then the bus drives us back. So we've been pretty lucky to do that. Pretty spoiled in that aspect. But
what happens during the day with the lights? Nothing?
No, nothing. Not much. I mean, you can't do much.
Is it weird to do spending the day?
Yeah, I usually play for...
No, I know.
I know,
weird.
I get it.
I mean, I played like festivals first, like on a thing where it was like, Jesus, really?
Yeah, I usually play the 5 to 6 slot,
right,
which is sometimes getting to be about dark. But they have local guys on the big stages before the, I mean, they got to fill the
That's
room.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or fill the bill before the A-list
people go
guys
in there and
on.
Dance during that time.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I usually
they're,
have
they're
a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll play on a stage that's, you know, it's an insane sound system, but there's 200 people there with a huge field. And we're talking 4 stages here. So there's 2 main stages and then 2 little side stages throughout this whole lay of the land, I guess. But, you know, by the peak of the night, there's 10,000 people out there raging. And so it's a huge party. And they're coming from all over Texas. So this is our 3rd year we've been doing it. And first year was about 8,000. I think it's grown to about 12 now.
Okay.
So it's getting bigger. The names are getting bigger. Right. DJ Tiesto is the big headliner this year. He's a pretty household name within electronic music.
Okay.
Dutch guy. But it's it all ties in back with what I was saying about the Winter Music Conference in Miami. It's just like that's growing. And our South By is here now. Everybody knows that dance music, the DJs are coming,
right?
You know, and they're playing.
And is there any DJs like at South by Southwest? Is there like, or not South by Southwest at ACL? Is there like there is at Bonnaroo? Like,
yeah, same thing. Bonnaroo, I haven't been, so I haven't experienced it personally.
Tell me about the one here.
Well, we had Skrillex at ACL last year.
Right,
that was huge.
Right,
he had probably 20-30 people in this, out there. I mean, he played at like 7 o'clock. Had a huge crowd, way more than we expected. I watched it from the stage, so I could see the masses.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, one of the Dells, or the one of the, not the mains, but one of the second to main.
Right, right.
So the side, AMD, I can't remember which one it was.
Right.
I think it was the AMD stage, actually. But, or I can't remember. However, it was huge. We had Bass Nectar a couple years before that. He killed it again. So
right.
They're, C3, who I work really closely with, has started filtering dance music into the main acts
right.
at ACL.
And they know you're good for some people, so they'll bring them in and throw you on with those acts maybe afterwards at after parties
exactly.
or something.
Exactly, that's what the Deadmau5 thing was.
That's great.
At the music hall. And then now they have, as you know, they have Lollapalooza. Right. Lollapalooza, Perry Farrell has taken a small stage and created a huge tent to where the tent, it's getting bigger and bigger every year. Charles said he's now, they have to get a bigger tent again next year because last year was...
Right. And he DJs as well, right?
Perry does, yes. Charles, please start DJing.
I got all the Charles Atal DJ sets.
Yeah, right.
You see Charles Atal with Deadmau5?
Oh, my gosh.
It was unbelievable.
Who?
What?
Who's DJing? Perry, yes. Perry DJs with his wife, Etty, and they say they go as Perry and Friends or something, Perry and Etty. But he always plays every Lala. Right. And then he goes to the kiddie stage, Kiddie Palooza, and does a little kiddie show.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. But the stage, I mean, the tent now at Lala is gone from probably 10,000 to next year. Who knows how big it's going to be? I mean, there was people overflowing.
But there's no tent at ACL. Not yet. Okay, that's what I was looking for. But yeah. They do have one at Bonnaroo, I know.
Uh-huh. And Lala.
And Lala.
Mm-hmm. And Coachella, maybe obviously. Coachella is another beast. I mean, it's growing. They're now doing 2 weekends in a row, same acts. Is that big? Yeah.
Wow.
I think Friday, Saturday, one weekend, and Friday, Saturday, the next weekend, same lineup.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know.
And weird.
It's crazy. And then the third week is a country festival. So
there,
it's 3 weeks
in the same place. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been hitting up Corbin to do a tent at ACL for. Since the beginning, but I think now it's a logistics thing as far as space.
Well, the thing is it seems
I've been putting it on her, though. If you're listening, Amy, it's about time.
Time to put him on there.
Time to do it.
Well
overdue.
I know. It seems like, though, that with what you do, almost the advantageous thing would be to do an after party because it seems so much more appropriate to that.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Is that right or is that?
It is 100% right, John.
Yeah.
And they do that. They'll bring in a couple extra heavy hitters to do shows at the music hall because ACL weekend has become a huge weekend and people are in town from everywhere to come to it, you know? So having Deadmau5 there and the Paul Oakenfold show, that was an ACL after party.
I like the idea of everyone there playing together, but, and it just seems like it serves it serves what you do more to be in a tent, having more time than, you know, 40 minutes or something before Wilco. But the idea of going somewhere and seeing a rock band and then Skrillex and then something else is really exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
The production at the after shows is always much better, too, because at the ACL... It's not focused on the production.
Exactly.
They're up there on a table and some gear.
They got to jump there. They're playing in between people. Mm-hmm. And
breakdown setup and all that stuff. So the real show is the after show.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you said that. I think it was on the one where you were promoting something on the one with Jason that you could take a bus somewhere and they had DJs on the bus. I mean, it was obviously a while back, so this event already happened. But then you were talking about there was an after party at the parish that went until 4, and that was really
that was a base
equal to,
show.
If not better, than
that
the,
was a base
the actual
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a base necker show.
Because the show was at the Cedar Park Center.
Right.
So you could take the bus out there.
Right.
Show, I think, would shut down at 12, and then the after party at the parish, which was, you know, another great event in itself. You know, dance music, they're big on after parties.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, that's what it is. It's a party.
Sometimes it doesn't start till the after party, you
know.
And I've stayed at home and gone out at 2 a.m.
Right.
And I've DJed.
Is it harder to do? It's harder for me.
Yeah, it just depends on what you got going on the next day.
Yeah.
You know, I hate sleeping my hungover days away in this beautiful city.
Yeah.
So as I've grown older, I've learned when to cut it. You know, usually when the sun's coming up, I'll cut it.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, I still see people that are raging, and I don't. Know how they do it sometimes.
No, and you look healthy and you still look young, so you obviously aren't killing yourself.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Actually, ironically, Johnny, I am killing myself because I do party like a rock star.
Right.
I've toned it down a lot.
Right.
Obviously, we all do. We've all had our times. But, you know, there's still people that I see that are raging hard, and I'll go to a brunch, and they'll still be partying, and I'm like, I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know
why.
I can't do that. I see the sunlight, and I get squeamish, you know?
Yeah.
But I've after parties... are always fun to DJ because Everybody's off the rocker. Everybody's going to a meeting spot. Yeah. It's great. I've done a lot of after parties. I've hosted them. I've promoted them at different nights to where I've DJed from 10 to 2. And then, like, where are we going now? Because nobody wants to go home at 2 after they've been for 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's go to the after party and we'll find a club that'll stay open till 6 for us, you know? And those parties are... they're fun.
And so you just grab your books of CDs and you go there and you just
and take everybody in the club with me. Let's go. Get on the microphone. Let's go. Party's around the corner right here. So it's
fun.
That's
another thing. You get on the microphone.
I do. I've been very vocal. I get positive and negative for it.
I could see that.
Yeah. I mean,
because sometimes they don't want to hear what you guys have to say. I get that a lot, too, for talking and shit in between songs and stuff. You know, some people don't really like, hey, you're killing the vibe of the thing. Yeah.
I think it's getting to know the artist.
For what I'm getting, exactly. But what I'm getting from, yeah. And you know what? That's how I picked up even more on what kind of person you would be on stage. Because I heard the enthusiasm, like, all right, you know, yeah. You're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
I mean, I think it's good.
I can't help it, man. And like, it's become a common joke amongst my friends. Like, they'll even go as far as going and unplugging the mic when I'm playing.
Right.
Because I get really excited. I'm very vocal and I see people and I'll call them out. But then at the same time, it's like, get off the mic, let the music talk for itself. You know, it's not overboard to where it's become an issue or anything like that.
Right.
But there's been nights where I've been drinking and a little bit more loose-lipped than other. But at the same time, 50 people in the room, let's say,
right.
49 of them are loving it.
Yeah.
And there's that one guy who's like, get off the mic, know? Yeah, so you know what? Yeah. Fuck that dude.
Yeah, fuck him.
Exactly. So let me ask you. And this. That's what it is. It's just energy. It's just me. It's just me being a hype man.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But it is talking over the music a little bit. However, it's drinking.
Well, it's not like you're reciting paragraphs of something that has not. You're like, all right, let's go. This is a party. I'm Toddy B.
Yeah. Like, that's it. That's it's it. Hype shit.
Yeah, basically. Hype shit.
Yeah. And a lot of
you're not reciting the Gettysburg Address up there.
You're killing the whole vibe. It's not like I'm killing the music and then talking. It's like it's with the music and with the flow or. If I have new music, I'll let people know, hey, this is a new one by Deadmau5, check it out. You know, I do that a lot because I want them to know about it. I've always been a fan of sharing the music. A lot of times people be like, oh, what's that? I'll be like, here, take it. I do that all the time because I can go home and burn another CD.
But are there producers in town that bring you their shit and they're like, hey, check this out and you spin it? What do you do when you don't like it?
I learned a long time ago, don't play it on the fly.
No, definitely not. Honestly, you don't know. You don't know what you're putting on.
Yeah. No offense to the local Austin guys, but 60 to 70% of the stuff that I get handed to me in my Dropbox or in person is subpar that I wouldn't play. But I'm also a snob, and I only play like good music, I think.
But to think that there's a good 30 to 40% out there that are you can play them after Deadmau5 or something like that. He's at the top of his game right now.
Yeah,
that's pretty
absolutely.
Good.
And and Austin is the other. You know. I'm not knocking the guys by any means because there's some talent in Austin. I mean, there's guys that are really, really kicking ass, putting tracks out, getting noticed on national level. And I love that because they're in our backyard.
Do you have any names of guys that are?
Yeah, Tritonal is a duo. One of my best friends, Chad Cisneros and David Reed, formed a group called Tritonal. They are trance guys. So their music is a little bit more high energy right off the bat, just a different style, but it's the masses love it. And now they're touring. He's going on an Australian tour for 2 weeks. He plays all the best festivals. He's in with Insomniac, so they just booked him for a 6-festival deal.
Wow.
All around the world, excuse me, all the Puerto Rico and the New York and the EDC Vegas. And they're playing all the top clubs. So I'm seeing them blow up overnight. They've been together 3 years, and the way they did that was making music, producing tracks. Yeah. Crisley is a guy from San Antonio, relocated to Austin now. He's a young guy. He's like 22 years old. He's got this sound that is it's dubstep, but it's like hip-hop remixes of – it's called crunk music, basically. And it's his own genre that he's kind of created, and people are loving it. And he's young, and he's on fire, and he's just this little energy ball of energy that people are loving, and he's getting booked all over the nation.
That's awesome.
Defuse is a guy that had been here. He's old school now, but he had been here 10 years making music. He got signed to a big label on Paul Oakenfold's label, actually, Perfecto, and then he blew up. Moved out to LA, but his roots are still here. He still owns a house here.
Right.
And then there's just the Wolfgang Gartner was a guy. He's huge now. He moved back out to LA too.
Right.
But he's, you know, internationally known, playing festivals for, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. But there's so many producers in this town. Francis Prev is a guy who's been writing for Keyboard Magazine. He did some work for Ableton, which is big program that everybody's using. He teaches at ACC,
right.
And he has these students that he's teaching. He's got Billboard hits. He's a big deal. He's got Billboard hits, and he's teaching these kids how to write music. And he wrote a book called The Remixer's Bible, and it's what it is. It's a Bible for dance music and how to create it and how to make it. It's called The Remixer's Bible. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting all these kids in his classes that are coming out of nowhere. They don't even know how to DJ, but they're making sick music. And then they have to learn how to DJ. So it's almost backwards.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know how to beat match. They know how to produce the beats, though, you know. So he's creating this whole nother crew of guys that are just amazing. And they're young, and they're in college, and they're going to be the new breeds is what I call them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're amazing. And Francis is on point, too. But to answer your question, lots of talent from Austin.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Every day I find somebody new, or somebody new finds me, and they'll send me tracks. And most of it's bad, but the ones that are great are awesome.
Same thing with rock and, you know.
It's same thing with music.
Same thing with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Movies.
Or they're just young, you know? And they're trying to figure it out, and they want to, I don't know, my ear, because I know what sounds good and what sounds bad, I guess.
Yeah.
I have a hard time telling some people it sounds bad. Maybe work on this area a little bit.
Right, right.
I'm a little bit nicer. I'm a yes man, too, so I have a problem with being a little honest sometimes.
Do you want to talk about that?
No. No, I mean, that goes back into the therapy section of the Johnny Galley podcast.
So what do you have coming up that, I mean, we talked about these big shows, but, like, do you have anything in the next couple of weeks? This will come out on Friday. Do you have anything this weekend?
Oh,
Friday
man.
And Saturday, you can look it up on
this weekend?
Your calendar, yeah.
It'll be out this later this Friday, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. This Friday night will be the monthly party at Geisha Room, 5th and Congress. It's free. My Saturday is off because my brother's getting married.
Great.
And then the next Saturday is Jason Jenkins' the next Friday, 4/20, is Jason Jenkins' birthday. Yep, 4/20.
Yeah.
So we'll be playing at Kingdom, which is a new spot. It's a really cool club. Holds about 200 people. The owner of the club designed the club around the DJ booth and the sound system,
okay,
which is the way that every DJ and dance music fan wants it to be.
Of course.
Versus, let's build the bar and all this stupid shit.
And stick the guy
in the back. Yeah. Yeah. So this sound system is like the best in the city. It's just an amazing club. It's Jason's residency. He's having me as a guest on his night. So
cool.
That'll be really cool. We're really excited about that. He and I play together often, but not enough, that's for sure. And then the following night, Saturday, is my monthly party at Riggs Cabaret. So that's up north. And like we were talking about earlier, that's freaking
that's
nuts.
A party.
It's a party, man. Yeah. And it's cool because it's north, so I got a crew of friends that live north that don't really go downtown that often.
Right.
So they'll come to that gig. And then there's just like the guys that love the booby bar.
Yeah.
That are single, sure. That'll come in rage.
Like, oh, dude, you're playing at Rick's. Oh, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
And then there's the guys that bring their girlfriends, and the girls that are, you know, there's two types of chicks. There's chicks that are either totally down with the titty bar or they're totally not.
Yeah.
And the ones that are totally down, they'll go and party and they'll have fun.
And have fun, yeah.
Exactly.
Can be a good time.
Yeah. And that's, it's always a good time up at Rick's Cabaret.
So is there anything we didn't cover? Is there?
Oh, man. No.
Did I miss anything?
That was a good chat.
Yeah, that was a good chat.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to the next installment. I subscribe to your podcast,
cool,
the Toddcast,
you.
On iTunes.
Yeah, so.
And people can find you. They just Google Toddy V. Mm-hmm. Toddy B. Toddy V. Toddy V. And also, don't forget to tune into Hypersonic Radio every Saturday night on 101X between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. so you can hear the Word on the Street segment with Toddy. And also, Jason Jenkins spins tons of great music.
Mm-hmm.
And
the website, too, hypersonicradio.com.
That's right.
Always streaming music. So if you want to get a flavor for what we do and you're sitting around the house cleaning, doing whatever, chilling.
Running.
Yeah. Yeah.
It puts you
there
in
you go.
It's, you know,
it gets your heart rate up.
Yeah. It does. It gets you moving.
Yeah. And it's you know, we touched on this earlier, we were saying something was just noise, but dance music, either you get it or you don't. You know,
exactly.
A lot of
same
people,
thing with rock, you know.
Yeah, true. I mean, a lot of people look at it and they're like, that is the same sound, same song you were playing 45 minutes ago. They think it all sounds the same.
Yeah.
To us, it's obviously completely different.
Right.
It has different styles, different pitches, different tones, different, just different everything. So, either you dig it or don't. Hopefully you dig it. If you do, go support your local DJs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
Well, you know, I'm Cuban, and before we go, I'll say this. I know people that aren't that familiar to Latin music, salsa sounds all the like this. Every time they hear it, it's the same exact song they just heard. So
I differ.
Yeah. Everyone does.
Yeah, and I love that music too, actually. That, yeah, like I said earlier, that's what gets the girls going, you know, the women.
Well, man, thank you so much, Toddy, and everyone go see him spin, and I will do the same, hopefully soon. Yeah.
Cool. Johnny, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it, bud.
All right.
A nice guy, right? It's awesome. All right, well, man, I am gonna go, and I'm also gonna go get that. I'm gonna go on Amazon.com and look up this Remixers Bible. I think I might order it. Seems kind of interesting, right? Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank Toddy B for stopping by the apartment, explaining electronic dance music to me, EMD. Or EDM. Such a tool. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to How Did I Get Here? Please keep on listening. Let us know what you think. And keep on rocking and dancing and living and doing it, right? And be sure you like us on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen to us on Stitcher. Here's a little bit more Toddy B for you. Bye-bye.